quite a complex one, and I'm sure there'll be some interesting discussion from it. Thank you, Byron.
I will welcome the CCNSO to our ALAC room, and I'm going to turn it over to Byron because I've spoken enough today, I think.
That's what I thought.
But the agenda is not too long. On the other hand, we are starting 15 minutes late. So as per our standard rules, everyone has to talk fast, but not so fast that interpreters cannot understand what you're saying. And when you start talking, please give your name so that the interpreters don't have to say, a man is talking.
Byron Holland, chair of the CCNSO. Thank you for inviting us into your room today, late on Sunday afternoon, so I'll try to keep our comments brief. But the fundamental topics that we had thought would be of most value include the decision-making process around the CWG proposal. In other words, how does the CCNSO intend to decide, and what would our process look like? And then also the subject had been raised around the potential risk if what happens if one of the chartering organizations is not supportive of the proposal, but the other chartering organizations are? What do we do? What does that look like? So and of course, feel free to interject or ask questions or provide feedback or commentary. In terms of how the CCNSO is looking at the decision-making process, given that we are also a member-based organization that's voluntary, that each of our members essentially are beholden to the laws of their national jurisdiction, and the cultural norms of those jurisdictions, we have to have a process in place that will allow all of us in our community to have a voice, to speak up, to provide input, but then find a path to decision that's as inclusive as possible, but at the end of the day, allows the CCNSO Council, which has been tasked by ICANN, to come to a decision. So I would unpack that to say, in fact, there are two decisions for the CCNSO Council to be making at its council meeting Wednesday at 5. And the first decision is actually, are we even in a position to take a decision? Do we feel we have heard enough, that we have a clear enough sense of the community to actually even engage in the debate of what that decision should be? So first is, are we in a position to even make a decision? And then the second is, what should that decision be? Support the CWG proposal or not? Now, we have been engaged in this process of getting to the first decision, the one about, are we actually even in a position to make this choice? We've been engaged in this for the better part of a year, I would say. I would encourage you to take a look at the CCNSO website, where we catalog all of our outreach efforts. It does make for some dry reading, I will grant you that, but it is nine pages long of all of the activities that we have engaged in to try to communicate to the entire CCTLD community. And just to be clear, the CCTLD community is the full community of all CCTLD managers and operators. The CCNSO is a segment of that, a significant majority, but not the two aren't entirely overlapping. So part of the CCNSO's responsibility has to engage the full community, whether or not they're a CCNSO member. And in our efforts to do that, we have worked with all of the regional organizations that represent CCTLD managers in their respective regions. We have worked with them in supporting their own outreach and education information efforts, as well as the fact that we have been doing it for all of our CC members. So whether it's blogs, face-to-face meetings, webinars, other online activities, multiple surveys in an attempt to get, you know, statistically significant results from our community, tweets and other forms of social media, we have a long, long list of activity that has informed and educated the community as well as sought feedback along the way. Over the course of our 2 days of meeting here, we have 6 separate sessions in our 2 days worth of CCNSO meetings that try to put the entire puzzle together to make it accessible for all the participants, regardless of how closely they paid attention. So we start with a broad sweep of the CWG's work, the CCWG's work, what the interrelationships are there, what the timelines look like, as well as a reminder of the work of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which has done critical work around the various policies relating to delegation, redelegation, transfer of CCTLDs. That forms critical foundational work that we view as sort of the basis or the foundation upon which the work of the CWG and beyond will be based. So our 2 days worth of sessions, 6 separate sessions, we'll take a look at the high level, the timelines, drill down into the specifics, the contentious issues, and towards the end of Wednesday, day 2, bring it back around for the community to essentially have one, ideally, if it goes according to plan, final opportunity to provide the council with essentially a temperature check of the community. And having gone through a year's worth of activities, 4 sets of ICANN face-to-face meetings, webinars, all of the various lists, etc., that is the point where the council will come to a conclusion on, do we feel that we have clarity or consensus and a consensus opinion within the community as we see it? And then at that stage, the council will look to take a decision during our council meeting. So that's a little bit of a long-winded tour of how do we expect to get there. The short answer is it is still a work in progress. Well, I think it actually was Bill Clinton who said it in San Francisco. You know, we are, in a sense, stumbling forward on uncharted terrain. And to a great degree, we are doing new and novel things here. And some of the processes are a work in process. But that is how we intend to come to a decision from a process and timing perspective this week.
Thank you, Byron. I think the ALAC right now, I will say almost perhaps uncharacteristically, is in a very strong position on the CWG report. We occasionally are subject to quite valid criticism that although we are here to represent the interests of end users around the world, we often have to be blunt, wing it, because a lot of the issues that we're talking about are so complex that it's pretty hard to get engagement from large numbers of people. For reasons that I'm not sure, this particular subject has sparked the interest of people. Maybe because the concept was easy to understand, even if the details aren't. And we have been working on a week-by-week basis for the last 6-7 months with a pretty large group of people, and said weekly teleconferences averaging 1 hour to 2 hours in many cases, going over the to's and fro's, the details of the CWG experience, and I say that carefully. So from the community that we have, I think they have been pretty well informed all along. And the ALAC itself has been, probably over half of the people are very actively involved, and the rest of them have been brought up to speed on a regular basis on our teleconferences and face-to-face meetings. So I think the decision is not formally taken, but we have informally discussed already that we are very likely to ratify the proposal with some comments. We understand that barring some unusual circumstances, such as someone not ratifying it, or the paper whole thing being tossed back by the ICG to the CWG, the comments may well not be acted on at this point, but we feel it's necessary to go on record with any parts that we're willing to live with, but are not quite the way we believe it should have come out. And that's not just we didn't get our way, but we think that it should have been done somewhat differently, and we'll go on record. But we are very likely to ratify with that conditional statement. We are in the process of, we'll be drafting the statement over the next day or two, and we will ratify or not on our meeting on Wednesday, on Thursday morning. But I have some level of confidence that we will not have any surprises coming out of it. I can't say nearly as much in confidence on the CCWG.
Can I just pick up on a comment you made there to make sure I understand it? You indicated that you are likely to make some comments along with potential support. Is your support, would it be subject to action on those comments? No? Okay.
The largest single comment is we believe there are certain stages in the overall process, particularly the problem resolution process, that we believe should have involved more of a multi-stakeholder component than they have in the end. There are a number of places where the CCNSO, the GNSO, have to pass judgment or ratify things. And on the CCNSO side, that makes complete sense. On the GNSO side, it is essentially the GTLD registries and a number of friends, but not all of the friends. So for instance, we think that if somewhere along the way, the ESSAC should have a larger say in this kind of thing, then, and the ALAC too, because we all love power, but to say that the stakeholders that happen to be part of the GNSO get to participate in certain decisions, but others which were not deemed to be part of the GNSO do not, we think will not likely change the optics, will not likely change any outcomes, which is why we're willing to ratify, but it changes the optics of how it looks that we call ourselves multi-stakeholder, we go around the world preaching, and then some stakeholders are treated differently than others. So we feel it sends a bad message, but it's not likely to influence the outcome sufficiently that we would not ratify because of it. But we think it's worth going on record having said that.
There are certainly some issues that we've seen in the proposal that would probably give us pause for thought too. And we are in the process of thinking through how we would register that, whether it be in comments, whether it be in some kind of request for some editorial change, although our understanding is that's not possible at this point. I guess we also have to recognize that this is a waypoint on a longer journey. It's not the absolute end stage. It will go to the ICG, who will presumably synthesize and stitch together the different proposals, and there will be opportunity again for full public comment. So there are other steps along the way, but certainly one of the things that we've also been talking about is in sending our response, including some of our own commentary as well. So
the real deciding point on our point is, would any, if the changes were magically made that we would want to see, would the future unfold differently? And it probably wouldn't, which is why we're willing to live with it. But we think it sends some bad messages if we're trying to recommend that the multi-stakeholder model be used as in a more general way than just within our environment. On to the next.
Any other feedback or comment on that issue? Or it's late on Sunday afternoon, everybody's commented out. On to the next, which is the, I guess in a sense, to some degree, the follow-on of what we've already been talking about, is given there are a number of chartering organizations, what if one of them either can't get to a decision or their decision is not supportive of the CWG proposal? Where does that leave the rest of the chartering organizations? And probably what we may be talking about is the GAC, and what happens if the GAC is not in a position to actually take a decision, supportive or otherwise. What then for the rest of us? And just gaming it out, if the rest of the chartering organizations were supportive, what happens if the GAC, for example, cannot be supportive?
I'll give it a try. My recollection of the charter says that if any of the chartering organizations do not ratify, then they have to explain why, and that has to be considered by the CWG. So obviously it would not be submitted to the ICG this Thursday. The CWG would have to be reconvened, as it would, for instance, if the ICG itself has any questions or requires any changes. So that would certainly delay the process. I don't think the charter is explicit, but I would like to think that no single organization has a veto, which means the CWG would have to try to satisfy the organization, but maybe it couldn't. And I would suspect, as long as it's only one of the chartering organizations, then it would probably go forward. I'm guessing, but I have no basis on this. I think it would also make a difference if we rejected it rather than if we were silent. So, and the GAC, I suspect, if the GAC is not in a position to say, yes, we support it, are they at the same time saying, no, don't do it, or just not getting around to it at that point? And I guess that would make a difference, although I don't think the charter provides a lot of detailed guidance for how to handle it.
For how to handle a non-objection outcome. Agreed. Are you meeting with the GAC? Have you met with the GAC?
We are meeting with the GAC, I believe, on Tuesday. It was actually supposed to be this afternoon, but the schedule got juggled. So yes, we are meeting with the GAC. That is one of the items on the agenda.
And it's likely to be one of the agenda items for us at the GAC as well. So perhaps also if they hear a moderately consistent message, it will start to get through.
Sean?
Okay, thank you, Alan. Thank you, Brian. Just a quick one. I want to know, does the CCNSO, or better put, the CCTLDs, intend to provide their response before Thursday? Thank you.
Our goal at this point is to come to conclusion at our council meeting, which is Wednesday late afternoon. But as I said, there's two decision points. One, are we in a position to actually take a decision? And then two, what is the actual decision? But certainly the goal at this juncture is to get to that point. That said, there is a proviso that we have all-day meetings Tuesday and Wednesday where this subject will be the key subject, and it will depend to some degree on what we see and hear during those 2 days of discussions.
Anyone else? Seeing no. And we're on to any other business leadership training. I'm presuming Sandra's going to talk on that.
Thank you, Ellen. It's Sandra speaking. I've seen, Baron, you and your colleagues have been in the room when I submitted the invitation to the next leadership training program to Patrick Feldström already. And I would also like to invite the CCNSO to identify up to two participants, or reach out to up to two participants to participate in the next training program, which is taking place before the ICANN meeting in Dublin from Wednesday to Friday. And I see Jordi is in the room. He was participant of the first pilot program, which took place right here in this room in Buenos Aires in 2013. Meanwhile, the program has a little bit evolved. We are getting better in terms of facilitating or combining facilitation sessions with ICANN topic matter sessions. And it would be really great, because last year, unfortunately, there were no CCNSO participants in this group. It would be really important and great to have either incoming or experienced leaders to participate in that one. Important is that those people should have travel support already, because this program cannot provide travel support, but they will provide the hotel costs, the additional hotel costs. And maybe I just give the floor quickly to Jordi, because he was the one who participated in the first one. And since he is quite a strong supporter of this concept from the leadership training program and from of the ICANN Academy and their work in general, maybe it's better if Jordi shares some of his experiences with you. And then I would also like to give you or your colleagues those cards which have the basic information and also a link to the online application form. And I would kindly ask you to hand this out to your colleagues so that they have the chance to think about it and to apply. Thank you.
Thank you, and we will certainly take those cards and announce it at the CCNSO session, absolutely. And I would be very curious to hear Jordi's experiences.
Hi, this is Jordi Pereira for the record. Well, just to agree on what Sandra has said, I mean, I think that there is really a value on spending those days together, meeting and knowing people from different constituencies, breaking the silos that we have in ICANN, because we are the whole week meeting, except those exceptional occasions, maybe a dinner, maybe whatever, but we are amongst our own colleagues. So this is a way that even if the representatives are experienced, have been coming to ICANN for long, it's worth for that. Not only you learn from the others what the other constituents do, how do they work, you get to know the people. You get to know the people, and there is a human value there that really helps quite a lot to establish bridges of communication between different constituencies, not just among the chairs, but also other channels besides. So at least those two concepts.
Yeah, it's Alan speaking. I attended the last session, and I must admit, I don't think, I won't say I entered it with any cynicism or anything, but I got far more out of it than I expected to. And the contacts that I made there, despite the fact I've spent 8 years in ICANN, have paid off in spades. So it was a good couple of days spent.
Thank you. Well, we look forward to filling our two spots with worthy candidates. Any other business?
We have Tijani, who is standing between us and the first meeting ending early that we've had all week. Tijani, it's all yours.
Thank you, Alan. I have a question for which I don't see any experience before, and I don't think there is a text that can answer it. Suppose one of the chartering organizations don't ratify the proposal. What will happen? Is it sufficient for the proposal not to be accepted or not to pass?
I've actually just been handed some wording that would speak to, that would speak to it. So it's probably worth actually reading. It's, as I quickly scan it, only a couple of sentences, but it is from the charter itself. And it says, and I quote, "In the event one or more of the chartering organizations does or does not support the final proposal, the final proposal should clearly indicate which parts are fully supported and which parts are not, and which chartering organization dissents from the CWG view." So it does go on from that. It is contemplated within the charter specifically, but it does provide for the opportunity for the proposal to carry on even if one of the SOAs, chartering organizations, does not support it fully.
I do know this text because I was in the chartering and the drafting team, but this text doesn't say if all the organization or the chartering organization don't agree on this proposal. If you read this text, it may pass. So this is something that I am worried about it. What is the limit? When we can say, no, we have to reconsider the proposal?
I could mention that Tijani is one of the drafters of the charter. but the charter is what it is right now. And if one organization dissents and says exactly why, then I think the charter provides guidance for what to do. If all of the organizations reject it, I think we would not have a lot of credibility of forwarding it to the ICG. If somewhere in between, it's a judgment call. I don't think we can be more definitive than that today. Thursday may be another matter altogether. We are done. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
I wish you a good rest of the week. The week hasn't officially started yet, I point out.